Welcome to the Top Advisor Marketing Podcast. This special series was recorded live at the Market Council Summit in Las Vegas, Nevada. Listen in as we talk with leaders in our industry represented at this wonderful event. Now, on to the show.
Hello and welcome to another Top Advisor Marketing Podcast. This is Matt Haller and we are at the Market Council Summit still in Las Vegas at the magnificent Four Seasons Hotel. We're going to talk to Rob Baldwin now from Trade PMR. And your official title is what?
I'm the president and CEO of Trade PMR. Yes.
So we have, you know, the biggest of the big here with Trade PMR. And he was telling me some amazing stories. And we're going to jump right into that, if that's okay. I want you to tell us about your history in financial services because it goes back farther than I think our listeners will be prepared for. So, Rob, tell us about it.
Absolutely. You know, when I was 12 years old, I was fortunate enough to have a grandfather who loved to invest in the market. And he would sit me on his lap in his living room and teach me how to read the Wall Street Journal. And, you know, back in those days, everything was trading by an eighth and a quarter and so forth. And he would educate me on the buy and the sell side and what stocks he held and why he held them. And I just got the greatest education. And then he would even further that by taking me to his broker's office. And I would be able to sit there with he and his broker as they would kick back and forth ideas of what they thought they should buy and what they thought they should sell. And my grandfather was one of those who never liked to sell anything. So I always got a kick out of that, even if it had a little bit of bad news and she was educating him on it, he never wanted to sell anything. Well, you know, that broker would always ask me these little questions, you know, try to keep me entertained as a little kid in the room. And she looked at me one time. She said, son, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I said, you know, I'd really like to be a broker like you. And she said, oh, she gave me this whole rundown of how noble the profession was and how great it was for her and her family. And she really enjoyed it. It gave her a lifestyle that she chose. And she absolutely loved the profession and helping people invest and do the right thing. And you know, then I kind of just looked at her, and I don't know why I even said it. And I looked at her, I said, but I'd really kind of rather own the firm than just be a broker. And my grandfather, I remember, it's like he grabbed me by the ear and took me outside after it was over. And he goes, son, you just don't say things like that. And I said, but I would rather own the firm. You know, but anyway, so that's, you know, that's exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, 40 years later, I'm at a cocktail party with the CEO of the brokerage firm my grandfather used. And I tell him the story that I used to go and told him the whole rundown of going to my grandfather's broker and being educated by her, the questions she asked me. And he looked at me and he said, her name isn't so-and-so, is it? And I said, absolutely, it is. And he said, she's still with us. She's 78 years old. She shows up at 7 a.m. She has high heel shoes on every day. She still loves this profession and is very, very successful at it. And I went, wow, what a small world. Yeah. It's amazing how things come back around in life. He connected the two of us. It was a home run. And I was able to kind of tell her really the influence she had on me back at 12 and 13 years old. But I truly do give my grandfather a lot of credit for educating me and entertaining me and showing me this business at a very young age so that I knew exactly what I wanted to do when I grew up.
And let's talk about that with Trade PMR. Tell us about the journey of you getting to be the president and CEO of this company.
Absolutely. Well, you know, as a registered investment advisor, first of all, let me just say, I came in through the broker-dealer route. I discovered the RIA business. Again, it's one of those stories where I won a contest from a wholesaler at a mutual fund company, and he gave me an Easter basket. And in the Easter basket was a magazine, as well as all these other things that I think he collected from conferences, like the one we're at today. Yeah. And, you know, he presented me this Easter basket, but in there, the magazine was one of the very first investment advisor magazines that came out. The cover was How to Begin Your Own RIA. So you got to understand, this is in the early 90s. I read that article. I knew what an RIA was because Peter Lynch of Fidelity Magellan was an RIA. So I knew what that concept was. I read the article, resigned in 2 weeks, started my own RIA practice, and went into business. I thought it was the greatest investment or the greatest business opportunity in the investment arena of all time. I absolutely love this business. And I realized then that I had to have a custodian, so I had to go find the custodians that I wanted. I did that. I, you know, used all of them that I possibly could, and I found out really they weren't catering to guys like me. As a matter of fact, it was cheaper to take a $2,000 account and open an IRA or an account with them. I would have gotten a cheaper ticket than somebody who had $50 or $100 million could get. And I just didn't feel like that was fair game. I didn't feel like they catered to the institutional market. And after a few instances, I decided in 1997 to start Trade PMR.
Okay.
So we founded Trade PMR 20 years ago this year. Actually, we just celebrated October 31st was our 20-year celebration of our company. And we cater to registered investment advisors, fee-based advisors who are fiduciaries, about 750 offices around the country today.
Okay.
And it's something I just absolutely believe in and I'm passionate about. I think this marketplace is the best place for people to invest. I believe in using fiduciaries for my own accounts. I believe in using fiduciaries, period. I think it's just absolutely the only way to invest your money. And, you know, to have that guy 100% on your side is the only way. Not 50% on my side half the time, 50% on somebody else's side, et cetera, et cetera. I believe in the fiduciary side. I believe in this model. So for 20 years now, we've supported it. We are very big in technology. So we build off-the-shelf technology all in-house to where people have everything they need to go in business as an RIA, and then they can figure out if they want to add on other software systems that may be more powerful CRMs or more powerful portfolio management tools, et cetera. And we plug and play with all the vendors like our competition does.
Okay, well, first off, congratulations on 20 years.
Thank you.
Phenomenal. But what makes you truly unique and different?
You know, we have kind of created a niche in our market to where we consider ourselves boutique. We only deal with so many firms. We really won't go past a certain number of firms. We've stayed under 1,000 firms, and that's our niche. We want to make sure we know everybody by name, their office assistants by name. We want to know how they practice. We want to have a relationship manager who visits them routinely and understands their business model. It's just a little bit different way of doing business, and it's something that we pride ourselves in, and it's worked for us. And, you know, guys who have stayed with us and been with us a long time, you know, they understand that model. And they understand our, you know, the difference we provide in this arena.
Now, you were gave us a brief glimpse into what your ideal client is. Let's unpack that a little bit more. If you could wave a magic wand and say, this is exactly who I want, what would that person look like?
You know, it's a fee-based individual, of course, you know, that fits our business model. Typically, $500 million and up is who we are striving to, you know, to work with. And guys who are growing.
Okay.
And so, you know, that's our existing business. We want them to be about $500 million and up that are moving in our direction. But if somebody comes to us and they say, we're growing, we're moving in the right direction, and we have the business model to grow, we're willing to give those guys a chance too. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure we're just working with firms that are up and coming and growing and consistent and not stagnant and sad and really not doing anything.
Yeah, I don't want stagnant and sad either. Yeah, now, how does Trade PMR, this is a marketing podcast, and it's called the Top Advisor Marketing Podcast. So how can an RIA use you as a marketing tool?
Use us as a marketing tool. Well, you know, I think any advisor who uses us will at least be able to go to their client base and say, I work with a firm that gets stuff done on your behalf because they do that for me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we take a lot of pride in that. We answer the phone when advisors call. As I said, we return responses quickly and efficiently. We want to make sure that it's not just the advisor's understanding that that's what we're about, but the client understanding that that's what we're about. And I think a lot of clients get frustrated with advisors because they can't be, they're not the end result of getting things done. They're not the end result of getting something handled that client has requested.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a big marketing side for our advisors to be able to say, the firm I work with is different. They do get things done. They're very responsive. They can make sure that your needs are met.
Now, one of the questions that we ask usually is who's on your team and what do they do? But you have a... You have a robust team.
We do have a robust team. So it's a little odd for that. But we have a great team.
Mm-hmm.
We're centrally located in Florida. We're able to recruit from a lot of universities there. So we get a lot of talent. We do internships and we grow people up. And we're kind of able to select and pick, you know, those that are our caliber and people we want to grow with in business long term. And we've our COO was actually an intern 10 years ago. So it's fantastic to see that actually occur and to watch guys be able to progress in the business and in a town that usually doesn't occur in.
Sure, sure. What is your financial philosophy? Now, it's interesting because you were sitting on your grandfather's knee all those years ago. Has that evolved a lot since then? Or tell us how you look at things in that way.
You know, really, my philosophy is pretty simple. I firmly believe in have a custodian. I mean, I think the financial world is experiencing the 9/11 crisis. It's like we're all of a sudden forgetting 2008.
Yes, I absolutely agree with you.
And, I don't want to ever forget 9/11, and I don't want to ever forget 2008. Mm-hmm. And in 2008, it was very, very obvious to me that we could have, gotten through that situation, the Madoff issue and so forth, so much easier if we had custodial rules to where advisors, number one, were forced to use a custodian. Why are these advisors taking custody? What purpose is it for them to open a checking account and get you to deposit your funds in it so they can then do what they feel like they should do? I really don't understand that model. And to me, that's a real challenging thing from a fiduciary standpoint to be able to support and to be able to have compliance over and to regulate. It's extremely difficult. And so that led us to a lot of consequences. And yet today, we're pushing down that road again, and we're seeing advisors start to kick the tires saying, hey, I want to take custody, and I want to do this, and I want to start investing in these different projects, everything that could blow up in their face. And the regulators, we see it all the time. They're coming to us to get data on these advisors so that they can put them under scrutiny. Yeah. And, it's crazy for people to do that. So my investment philosophy is always use a fiduciary advisor, always choose somebody who doesn't touch your money and puts it in a custodial account somewhere else that they can't touch and do anything with except for advise you on how to manage that asset. Even if they take discretion, that's A-okay. Mm-hmm. Let them take discretion and manage the assets according to your stipulations. But put it with a third party to where you know they can't touch it.
Gotcha.
I mean, greed always comes about in bad terms. And, you put money in a person's hands that have never experienced that kind of assets, and all of a sudden they have $30, $50 million. Things can go bad really, really quickly.
Yeah. All right, Robert, we're going to switch gears now and talk a little bit more about you. Now, as you know, being very successful in business, people really like to get to know who they're working with, even from a CEO level, right? So when you're not working, what do you do for fun?
Well, number one, I love to spend time with my children, and I love to play golf. Hmm. So that's really my fun aspects of my life, and travel. So, I do quite a bit of traveling to go sightsee and to do the things that we all try to do when we have a little bit of free time. And I love to spend time on my boat. I have a little boat in St. Petersburg, Florida, and I love to get down there and get on the boat. So that's one of my hobbies.
Okay. Let's see. Who's your hero?
Wow. That's a really challenging. I have a lot of heroes, especially in business. I have a lot of heroes from a personal standpoint. I still have to go back to my grandfather to be as my biggest hero.
Great.
He's someone who laid out a plan of, how to live right, have fun, have good morals, and just do the right thing all the time and enjoy life. So the philosophy of work hard, play hard, he lived it to the fullest. Hmm.
If you had all the money in the world you ever needed, would you do anything differently?
No. And, and this is not to be, braggadocious in any way, but I feel like I have all the money in the world now. Not that I do, but life is good. Mm-hmm. And would I change anything if I had more money? No, I'd still be doing the same thing because I still have the same passions and still ambitions to accomplish, serving this community of the registered investment advisor and the fiduciary model. That's my goal. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure that those individuals who want to walk that path have a platform that services them with everything that's in them and doesn't compete with them in any way, shape, or form.
Okay. Favorite person in history and why?
Always challenging, but at the same period of time, my father played football for Bear Bryant.
Oh.
And I got up to spend a lot of time with him in the summers. And I always have admired him for one reason. He was a winner. Mm. And when you're around people who know how to win, it's a strange thing, but everybody can do a lot of things really, really well. But when you know how to win, that edge is something that I want to surround myself with. I want to be around guys who know how to win when the pressure is mounting as large as it's ever been on them. I had the opportunity once to play golf with Justin Rose, who ended up winning the Olympics, you know, the next year and winning the gold medal. And to see how he reacts under pressure was amazing. And, you know, it's that mentality that these guys have to where they're not out to play golf for fun. They're not entering a tournament to place. Every single time they go out to win. And I think that should be our model in business. And understand that not every time are you going to win, but, you know, if you shoot hard to accomplish your goal and to do great things happen for you. If you shoot, if you shoot for mediocrity, you're going to get mediocrity.
Yeah.
So, you know, I love winners like that. And he always talked in a very, very positive light about life, about ambition, about what you're able to do in life. And the key that I always noticed from Bear Bryant, everyone in the room that played ball for him, they were all successful people.
Oh, wow.
It was amazing.
Well, okay, so that's my next question. When you look at the word success, it means a lot to a lot of different people. What does it mean to you?
Living life to the fullest, working hard and playing hard and enjoying everything you do, being able to work in an industry that you absolutely love and work a job that you absolutely love. There once was a phrase where people said, you know, you never want to just be in a job all your life because that just means you're just over broke. That's what job stands for. And I read that one time when I was probably 17 or 18 years old, and I said, well, I don't want to do that. You know, I don't want to live 40, 50 years, you know, and be able to look back in the rearview mirror and say, I wonder what could have happened. I never want to live that kind of a life. So to me, success is driving yourself and living the life that says, I gave it my best. And from that, happiness comes.
That's fantastic.
No regret.
Now, most people who have achieved your level of success have a go-to thing, like a book, a TED Talk, a saying. What is that one thing that you have that you like recommend to family, friends, clients, other professionals that you hang out with?
Wow, that's huge. I will tell you, I kind of do it all.
Oh.
I want to have words in my head at all times that are positive, uplifting, motivational, educational, and that will change me. And, you know, I'm just a real big believer in that. So I listen to podcasts all the time. My car, I don't listen to the radio. I admire people who love music, and I admire people who can sing every word of every song in tune. But that's just not me. But I really enjoy listening to positive motivational talks of people who have done great things and accomplished great things. How I started this is one of my favorites, where people talk about how they started their company and what adversity they went through and the objectives they had to overcome in order to do what they did.
Sure.
Those are always fascinating to me.
Yeah, I love those too. Name one thing that most people don't know about you.
Probably that I'm a pilot.
Oh.
And I love to fly. And I think that surprises most people. But I started flying in 1992. And still fly today and enjoy that a whole lot. And it's kind of one of those things that if I can get up in the air at about 4,000 or 5,000 feet on one of those days when you feel like the weight of the world's on your shoulders, you can look down and go, boy, my troubles are really small.
What is your mantra, motto, or something that you say to yourself when you have diverted from your path? How do you hit that hard reset button?
Hard reset. I will literally go away.
Okay.
And I'll go into solitude for a period of time just where I can regroup myself and do whatever I need to do to, you know, cover any kind of adversity, make any kind of dramatic change. Even changing habits, you know, when you have a routine and you realize, boy, this routine is just not working. It doesn't matter whether it's a workout or an eating or even your work hours. When things don't work, I think sometimes you just got to go and reevaluate. And I just go into a hole, I figure it out, and I, you know, come back out stronger. That's just my method.
What is your proudest achievement?
Wow. I would say, truthfully, it's overcoming all the adversities that come at you as a business owner, overcoming criticisms and turning them into motivation. Loving the fact of being able to turn there's no way you could ever do that. That will never happen. Into, I did it and it's done. Those are things that I have to, you know, I hate to even say it out loud, but those are things that absolutely feed me.
Sure.
And I think it feeds a lot of business owners.
It does.
And it's one of those things that when I hang it up one day, I'm going to be able to look back and say, I did it the right way. Mm-hmm. And I did it not for myself. I did it for others and with others. And we as a team did something that people didn't believe we could do.
Sure.
And we challenged the world of the big dogs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our competition, everyone knows who they are.
Yeah.
And no one knows who we are. Because we don't service a retail channel. They service retail, so they're known in every household. We don't service retail, so we're not going to be advertising to retail. So to be able to fight that fight and overcome it and be successful and succeed is literally what I would have to say is my greatest achievement.
Well, I don't think you need to be apologetic at all, because our listeners are going to totally resonate with everything you just said, man. That was fantastic. Now, you have the attention of we have a pretty good listenership. Who should contact you, and what is the best way for them to reach out?
You know, any individual who has thought about starting a registered investment advisor firm, who maybe is currently in a wirehouse or broker-dealer situation, wants to go into the RIA space and wants that boutique custodial feel, wants the same feel as they had in their glory days, I will say this to you. Every advisor I meet always has a story to tell me of a firm that they were with that they wish still existed.
Oh.
Because they were like, that was the firm, that was the model, that they serviced me the best. I had a relationship there. We do things differently. I give every advisor my cell phone number. I want them to be able to text me, call me if they have any issues. You know, and guess what? My phone doesn't ring very often in that kind of a scenario, but I want them to have it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I see that in them when I go visit them. Mm-hmm. So anyone who wants to start in the investment advisor world in a fiduciary standpoint on a fee-only basis, that's who should contact us.
Fantastic. Rob, thank you so much for being on the show.
Absolutely. Enjoyed being here.
All right. If you have not subscribed yet, make sure you click that subscribe now button below. And if you do know anybody who would like to talk to the people at Trade PMR, please make sure that you reach out. We'll make sure that we have show notes and contact information in the show notes to make sure that you can reach out to them to find out a little bit more about who they are and what they do. So for everybody at Trade PMR, Iris, and Top Advisor Marketing, this is Matt Halloran, and we'll see you on the other side of the mic very soon.
Are you ready to change the way you communicate with your clients? Are you tired of being the best kept secret in your area? Learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your business. Contact us today and see what the power of podcasting can do for your business. Click on the Contact Us link on our website at topadvisormarketing.com and set up a call to learn more. Follow us on LinkedIn and Facebook for more updates and information.
This was brought to you by Iris.xyz, a platform helping financial professionals become better in business and life through new media and new voices. Visit them and learn more at Iris.xyz.